Well, of course, that music means it's meanwhile back on the farm time with my dad, Grant Marshall. We're losing a generation of respect, integrity, and honor, a generation who were not afraid of hard work and sacrifice. My dad is that generation. Growing up on the farm taught him more about life than Google ever will. So maybe we should take the time to listen to Mr. Grant Marshall. Sir, how are you today?
Good afternoon, Drew. How are you?
Or as they say up in our country, and how are you now?
Fine. Nice to hear your voice.
You as well. The other kind of the saying that they say up in our way, where you were from originally, up in the farm north of Orangeville, they'd say, do you think the rain will hurt the rhubarb?
I don't know.
But rhubarb is not a good topic for us to talk about, considering the last time we were on the show, you were on the show, Dad, we talked about you cleaning out the outhouse so that
right.
The rhubarb would grow nicely.
Well, let's get another subject for today.
If you don't mind.
Now, if you don't mind.
When I think about February, I think about Valentine's Day. When I think about Valentine's Day and, you know, being on the farm, I honestly, Dad, you're not going to like the way I'm going to frame this, but I think of ugly women. Big women with big hands, and they don't shave their legs and because they're working on the farm, and they smell like chicken poop
and
rhubarb.
And rhubarb. How did you ever find a good-looking woman like my mom?
Well, it was a high school sweetheart, as you know. But Valentine's Day did have some significance on the farm, Drew, because it would be a social event in February, and there'd be a dance at the community hall, and the theme of the dance would be a box social. In other words, my mother and all the ladies of the community would bring a box lunch. Decorated with Valentine's, perhaps, and a heart here and a heart there. And then later on in the evening, the men of the community would bid on these boxes. So they'd be lined up on a table in front, and maybe there'd be 20, maybe there'd be more than that. So the young people of the they kind of knew which box belonged to their girlfriend, and they would bid each other, and a dollar would soon be a dollar and a half, and maybe even $2, and bidding was rather fierce.
That's big money, Dad, back in those days.
That's right, for the young women of the community, and the mothers, of course, the husbands, we'd all, there'd be a little bit of a bidding war, and I was involved. I'd be maybe 12, 14, and I had a dollar or two in my pocket, and I bid on the boxes were running out pretty quick. I had to get my speak in pretty quickly, and for want of a better word, I chose the box that I had to eat lunch with. Was perhaps we might call them a bag lady today.
What?
She wasn't all that fixed up too well.
I see.
She was part of the community, and
Dad, are you saying this was a pity bid?
No. I wanted to have lunch, so and her box perhaps was the last one. So, but my dad said, "You were pretty good stuff, son, because you ate your lunch with this lady, and she there was nothing wrong with her other than she was a little bit bedraggled." But
bedraggled, I love that, as opposed to bedazzled. So hold on, I got to get this straight. You were 12 or 14, around that age,
in there, sure,
and you'd bid on lunch boxes.
That's right.
That a lady had brought in, none of the girl, but a woman brought in.
Oh, yes, and my mother would bring hers, too, you see.
And then you would pay to eat that lunch with whoever brought in the lunch.
It's box social is the name of the game.
But I got the impression this was like, it was you'd eat with the daughter of the mother. I mean, this sounds weird. Why would you go eat lunch with an old woman?
She was the last box.
And I was hungry.
Yeah, that's right. Good for you.
Oh, that's funny.
This, you can't make this stuff up.
Well, what? You can't. That's his line. I love that. Yeah. You can't make this stuff up. Dad, I honestly don't get the point of this. Why is this to acclimate young boys to be responsible around older women kind of stuff?
I don't think that was the thought at the time. It was just a noting, and there was a bit of fun to it, and the bidding, and there'd have to be a an auctioneer or somebody holding up this box. And now, gentlemen, I know where this box. You'll want this one. You'll want this one.
Can of spam inside this one right here. Yep.
And of course, the lunch would be quite the fancy one. And all.
Give us an example of the kind of things, because today you'd get a cheese. What are those? This cheese stick where you peel the cheese, and then you get maybe a Pop-Tart in there, and maybe an apple.
Oh, no, this was homemade sandwiches of egg salad, salmon, and maybe some ham.
Would they trim the crust off, though?
No, they wouldn't do that.
Because that's what I grew up with. Mom used to trim the crust off the breads for the sandwiches at the, whether it would be after a funeral downstairs in the funeral home where we lived, the families, or for the church socials, you trim off the crusts.
And there'd be a pickle, there'd be a little bit of a cucumber pickle in with it, wrapped up in cellophane, and there'd be a little dessert, or might even have an apple, who knows?
Gee whiz.
So this was the box social in February, and through these months, your listeners will want to know, what we did on the farm, and the sort. There was no cultivating the fields.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you'd be in the dead of winter. What chores would you do, Dad?
Well, the chores would be, the regular chores. But two things stand out in my mind.
Yeah.
Was cutting wood in the bush, and we had two bushes. So
I think that's bush eye.
And we would cut wood now for next winter.
Right.
So
and it would be a two-man saw?
Absolutely. You know those cross cuts.
Yep,
and Dad said, "Don't lean on. Don't let the saw do its
work." Yeah, you told me that.
That's right. So we would cut wood after the chores were done. Maybe after dinner. Dinner would be lunch, and we'd spend 3 or 4 hours in the bush, making wood for the fire for next winter.
But would you have a chopper, or would you have to hand chop all the wood? A splitter, I mean. Sorry, splitter.
No, we'd chop the wood. We didn't have a splitter, no. And. Whatever tree wood, like the blocks, we would split by hand.
Yeah.
And usually, if there's enough frost, they split fairly easy. And then all the limb wood would be piled to a set aside. And then in the spring, you would get a buzz saw. Somebody would come and cut up the limb wood.
Okay, you said something that made me think about this. If the tree was frozen, so it's kind of a green, would you'd only cut dead trees or any kind of tree?
Trees that might be look like they were kind of on their
on their way out. Okay,
yeah.
So you said if they were frozen, they'd split better. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true. They do. We would have maple and beech, and the soft woods would be some cedar and hemlock.
I never knew that, Dad. Why am I not chopping wood at the cottage in the middle of winter then?
Because you're not there in the middle of winter.
Oh, yeah, because we can't get in to the cottage in the middle of winter. Yeah, that's right.
That was a big chore. And the second one, of course, we would grade potatoes that we'd harvest in the fall. We'd put them in our cellar at the farm. And then of an afternoon, Dad and I would go down with a lantern or whatever light we had and grade these potatoes that were sitting in big piles.
What does that mean, grade them?
Well, turn out any bad ones or small ones. And then we'd try and sell the potatoes.
Potatoes.
But, we would. So that was a bit, and I wasn't fussy about that, sitting on a bit of a mat on a dirt floor in the basement, but had to be done.
So you'd put a mat, like a burlap sack or something, on the dirt floor in the basement. You'd sit on that. You'd take a potato. You'd kind of eyeball it, or would it have to fit through a certain circle or something?
No, you'd just eyeball it, and you had a basket for them.
Decent-sized potatoes went into one basket, and the too small or too ugly go in the other ones?
They'd go in the other, and then we'd use them upstairs.
Right,
for domestics,
and
so it was grading the potatoes was a big job.
And how many potatoes? Because remember what you told us one year your dad decided to plant extra potatoes.
Oh,
and it was an insane thing. No, it was just a bad move.
Oh, He put in 7 acres of potatoes, and we had to do this by hand, you know. Never again.
Wow.
And he finally got the message. That probably is one thing that drove me off the farm.
Yeah, 7 acres of potatoes.
And that's a lot of potatoes. And in those days, the bags were 100-pound bags. They eventually got them down to 75, but they were... And, that bending over, the far end of the field looked a long way off.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And in September and October, you know, it's getting chilly. And we had one neighbor, and he had a lot of potatoes, too. So I'd go and help Bob, and, oh, golly, your hands would be almost frozen.
Bob the potato farmer.
Yeah, PDA.
Oh, man. All right, listen. I told you we'd talk about this, but I want to save this to next time. When we get you back on the show next month, Dad, for Meanwhile Back on the Farm, I want to talk about trips to the big city.
Oh, yes.
Trips down to the big city. And then you eventually moved from the country to the city to study the funeral business.
That's right. Getting to be a funeral director, and that was my...
He worked with soil when he grew up. And then he graduated into a different kind of soil.
And heavy sacks of cold potatoes kind of prepared him for that.
Yeah, that's right.
That was my work all my life and my profession. So.
Let's just finish with a bit of the love story between you and Mom. And I know you met... Wait, how did you meet? You met at a dance?
Well, no, I knew your mom from high school.
All right.
And she was in a class ahead of me. Because she was 1 year older.
Ooh, older woman.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so anyway, we knew each other. And then, of course, at dances, we would get together. And eventually, I would take her out and take her home. And we courted for...
Do you mean take her back to her place?
That's
where her
right.
parents live, in yeah, the family, exactly. not that's take her home. That's a different... that didn't happen back then.
No, we don't do that.
No. And what kind of car did you drive on the date? Dates.
Well, I had a Chevy, about a 48 Chev.
1948 Chevy.
About a 48 Chev.
Yeah. And did it ever break down, quote unquote?
No, but I wrecked it twice. just the front fender.
And do you remember proposing to Mom?
Yes, I did. Or yes, I do.
Tell me what happened.
Well, coming home from that event, I stopped on the side of the road and I thought to myself, give me some... Did you realize just what you did?
What do you mean?
Proposed to my wife.
Oh, so hold on.
Your mother.
So, wait. Go back to how you proposed.
Yeah.
Well, I had a ring, obviously, and would you marry me in the usual way? I'm probably in the front seat of the car. I don't think I got down on my knees.
No.
And I don't think we took a walk.
No. And, you just said, here's the ring. You wanna?
So... And I remember coming, stopping on the side of the road. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you got nervous and you were wondering what you did.
Yeah, but I knew this is what both of us wanted. And the next morning I said to my mom and dad, I'm getting married. And my mother said, oh, Grant, you're far too young. You're far too young.
How old were you, Dad?
21.
Yeah, you were. You were far too young.
Far too young.
That's when I had proposed to you.
Yeah. And we like your intended. We like her very much. But you're too young. Well, we're getting married, so that's it.
And how long was the engagement, Dad?
3 or 4 months.
Whoa.
3 or 4 months. We were married in September of 54. And I found out much, much, much later that my own mother was married when she was 17. No, 19.
And she was chirping you for getting married at 21.
Yeah, and my mother was married when she was 19.
Yeah.
Parents.
But it was a different day back then.
Yeah.
Different time.
Back then, yeah.
Yeah. Were you nervous, Dad? Were you nervous when you knew you were going to propose? First of all, did you pick out the ring by yourself?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and how did you know that was the kind of ring that Mom wanted?
Oh, he could get through potatoes and pick the good ones.
Oh, so he picked a good ring as well?
Yeah.
Nice.
I just picked a nice ring.
Okay.
And she thought it was just great, and I did too.
How, do you remember how she reacted?
Oh, I think we were in love, Drew. I think we embraced. you just want to know everything. First thing you want me to tell you.
But it was in the front seat, so it was safe.
Yes,
right?
yes.
It's all good.
Yes, a front seat embrace, a shoulder hug.
with
a tap out at the end. Tap, tap. Oh, that's funny.
Well, we certainly knew each other, and we'd been going long enough. So, It was a very natural thing to do.
Yeah.
Very natural.
Oh, what a different day it was for sure. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my dad, Grant Marshall, and that was Meanwhile Back on the Farm, a monthly segment that has become quite popular, a little too popular for my liking. He always takes the shine away from me.
Cheers.
Always steals the thunder. Grant Marshall, Dad, thank you for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad to have a chat. We'll do it again.
We will, too, next month. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Bye-bye. It's fun.
Your dad's hilarious.
We embraced? Is that what he said?
Yes, we embraced. Good job, fellows. High fives.
Oh, it's so fun. So fun. What a different day, really. I mean, and the young kids these days, they don't get it. They don't understand.
No, they don't.
Potatoes.
Potatoes.
We'll be right back.